You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Get up, get up.
Why does a pessimist see a glass half empty, but an optimist see a glass half full? Are we locked into regressive mentality by chains unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
To have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Get up, get up.
A pessimist see a glass half empty, but an optimist see a glass half full. Are we locked into regressive mentality by chains unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. New life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I feel, 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 feel.
Hello, Jack, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Yeah, something's going on with the computer. Right before we went on the show, I was talking to y'all and y'all couldn't hear me. And now I'm getting an echo. Let me see if I can figure this out. So everybody out there, bear with us. Can you still hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, Sean, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I've never had this happen before. I've gotten knocked offline right before going on the show, but right now I'm actually on the actual line and can't be heard, so I don't know what's going on with that. But for everybody out there listening, we finna make this happen. Just bear with me. I don't know if Brother Unc has called in unless he's calling from another number. Brother Unc, are you out there? Yep, I guess Brother Unc hasn't called in. Okay. All right, y'all, bear with us. Just having some major technical difficulty. I had to call in on my phone as well. So it sounds like I'm still able to direct the board. I just can't be heard directly from the computer, which is something that's never happened before. But anyway, so we're going to kind of make this happen. Obviously, we had a rough start this morning. It's not the first time that's happened before, but just a unique issue with the computer that I've never had before. So it made it a little different. So I'm calling in from my phone as well instead of calling from the computer. I had to turn my volume down just to get the echo out. So I think we're going to be able to pull this show off. Again, just bear with us for the rough start. Again, my name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I have a couple of special guests for this morning's discussion question, COVID-19 variants, more dangerous or more fear-mongering. I have a returning guest, Jack Ponte, so thank you for being with us today. Definitely reached out to you. You are what I consider someone who I would say well knowledgeable about this whole idea of COVID. You've been take a pretty deep dive, but I'll let you share with the audience a little bit about what you do in reference to this morning's show, and then Sean will come to you next. Go ahead, Jack. Again, thanks for being with us, and thanks for being with my technical difficulties this morning.
No problem. I've spent the better part of, since the pandemic, fortunately inside of a group of probably the most intelligent minds I've ever seen, PhDs in everything from virology to epidemiology to neuroscience to nuclear biology and back and forth again. And that group has been responsible predominantly for all of the finds that have been hidden, for starting to shift the temperature back to the middle, for uncovering a lot of untruths, and for doing research that no one's ever done before.
No, I love it. Sean, first-time guest, representing the pseudo-killers, if you will. If you will, can you give a couple thoughts in reference to your background as far as this morning's discussion? And we're going to jump right in again, getting started a little late for anybody that just tuned in. Had a rough start this morning. We're going to make it happen. But thanks again, Sean, for being with us.
No problem. Again, my name is Sean. I am a author of currently Cations. I am a member of the Pseudo Killers, which is a research team, the Kofi Paisai research team, and the Masa Warrior Clan. My primary focus is on, I actually got a book on the said subject as well. It's coming soon. I just haven't released it yet. It's currently being edited. But that's pretty much my background. I am a primary researcher. I've been following the pandemic for the last few years, but I've actually been researching it longer than that. I had the privilege of being on a panel with a bunch of frontline doctors and epidemiologists, immunologists, and virologists, which I study from and learn the behaviors, and that's my focus.
All right. Well, I appreciate that focus. We are at the point of our first break again, just kind of getting through this morning with the rough start. But we're going to go ahead and get this thing started and come back with our special guest for this morning's discussion question, COVID-19 variants, more dangerous or more fear. We're going to get into some origins. We're going to get into both of the different variants and just the different perspectives. As you can hear, we have people who are well-versed, well-studied on this issue. And if you are a long-time listener to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, I love to, in a sense, bring people who know a little more than myself to the show so that we can get, do a deep dive into these discussions. And then once we get started, we will open up the phone lines. But let's go to this first break. When we come back, we are going to get hot and heavy into this morning's discussion. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
To be clear here, Fauci's response is, quote, it's totally consistent with the jump of the species from an animal to a human. A lot of other people said it's too early to even make that conclusion, but that was his response. Dazak blames Fox News because a reporter had the gall to ask President Trump at the time about a theory about an intern who worked at the lab in Wuhan who may have leaked that to the outside world. What do you think of that, David?
God bless Fox News for caring at the time. I mean, you know, we've only lost, you know, 7 or 8 million people in the world or something, according to The Economist, maybe 12. You know, this is a situation that defies gravity. It's truly like a Salvador Dali painting where the clocks have melted and time has not stood still. If you think about it, I mean, the scientists have come out and said with definitive authenticity in their voice that they know where it came from, but there's no proof. I mean, what I saw in the government, I said, give me your file. I went to NIH, I went to CDC, I said, okay, let's have your file. I want the proof. They didn't have a file. They didn't, I mean, you know, I went to other intelligence agencies and they had a file. I mean, they said, well, we have suspicions that came out of a lab. This is why. You know, we need to get to the bottom of this thing now. And I think President Biden is on the right track because he's given 90-day suspense to do something and look into this thing. But this is taking way too long. Can you imagine how many months has passed and we still don't know what happened?
Also, Dazak admitted during that 60 Minutes interview that they took the Chinese for their word for it. I'm wondering why. You know, the Chinese why would you do that? Just one more point. We've been told in the last 3 days that lab leaks happen all the time. But we've had epidemiologists on the air for 15 months. That was not something we heard a lot. And suddenly in the last 4 days, everybody's talking about it. I can understand that lab leaks happen. But why dismiss it so early on? Last comment.
Unless he was prompted by somebody else to dismiss it. I mean, who knows? I've worked in intelligence operations for a large part of my career. I mean, lots of people are told to do certain things, and they don't even necessarily know. They're not necessarily paid. Who knows what this guy's motivations are? I mean, he was sending notes to Fauci in mid-January. So was a guy named Christian Anderson from Scripps Institute, who's very famous, who wrote the letter for Nature saying it couldn't have come out of Nature. And we found on February 1st, yesterday, that he wrote a letter to Fauci, a note to Fauci that said that this thing was lab altered and it was genetically engineered. So can you trust these scientists? I don't trust these scientists right now. I trust our national lab scientists. I trust our Army scientists. I don't trust these paid in the pocket by Chinese scientists.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, COVID-19 variants, more dangerous or more fear-mongering? Our special guest, Sean Phillips, as well as Jack Punty, were able to get Brother Unk on the line as well. Thank you, Brother Unk, for being back with us. You are a part of the pseudo-killers, and Sean's kind of giving a little bit of his background. But we're going to go ahead and keep this thing rolling because you are a returning guest. And just thanks for having you. Thanks for being on with us, King.
Appreciate you having me on, man. Peace to the panel.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and get started with the cut that we just heard. Jack, I'm actually going to start with you, if you don't mind, brother, where we're just hearing basically a television cut in reference to the origins of this thing. So before we get into any of the variants and things of that nature, I wanted to definitely take some time to highlight what I would say some of your work in particular with the study that you've done, as we hear again this cut from Fox News just talking about the origins. Somebody has something in the background. I don't know if you can mute yourself. If you got something in the background, just turn it out because it's coming through on the air.
Okay.
But with that said, Jack, if you will, absolutely. What are your thoughts on just hearing that cut that kind of challenges the origin of the pandemic, of the virus, I should say, more or less?
I mean, the first problem you're dealing with unilaterally across the board is the pandemic's become politicized, and it shouldn't be. So you have the zoonosis believers more shifted to the left, and the lab leak believers more shifted to the right. And I think that that's really a result of politics. Furthermore, when you get into academia and scientists and so forth and so on, the idea of a lab leak threatens their income, because the amount of funding, if you would take a look at funding and grants across academia, you'd be astonished. It's billions and billions and billions of dollars. So their fear is that their funding would be cut. Couple that with who they're protecting, or not necessarily protecting, but agreeing with who also controls the funding, such as NIAID, the NIH, so forth and so on, especially the NIH. So if the NIH says zoonosis, and you're funded by the NIH, you're not going to challenge that, because you can't take food off your table, right? So that's really the core of that understanding. From a genomic perspective, purely looking at the genome, there is something radically wrong or unnatural. They reference Christian Andersen in there, who we used to call Hans, as in the fairy tale guy, Hans Christian Andersen. And we battled him for months, and pretty much blew his hypothesis and theories to shreds, because just from a primary biological standpoint, he was wrong. And if you look at the Freedom of Information Act Fauci emails, Eddie Holmes, who was suspect in this, Hans Andersen, who was suspect in this, Lin Fo Wong, so forth and so on, their original reaction was, this is not evolutionary correct. And then in a 48-hour period, they went from the evolution is fine, this is a zoonotic event. So that is a little bit of a curveball. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Purely, if this was a court of law, this thing would be won on circumstantial evidence alone. But it's not. So that becomes another issue.
No, I appreciate those thoughts, Brother Ankishan. From what I understand, again, y'all have been following and studying this thing for a long time. The perspective, again, I've obviously talked to Jack in private, talked to you, both of you in private, and so y'all perspective is that it still at this point lines up. You know, we had a dialogue earlier this month where I was just saying kind of what you heard in the cut. If you recall, the cut said, it was too early to come to that conclusion. So if you recall, when we were dialoguing, in a sense, that was my perspective at the time that they came out publicly. I think that's at the same time that Jack's referring to the 48-hour period when it initially came out. I just said, you know, for my review of what little research I do, again, y'all do much more than I do, but I just said, how could he come out with it at this point? I don't think that is conclusive. And the one thing that I would like to say, and I'll definitely jump in at this point, I think regardless of which side you may land on this, I think we definitely need to say this up top before going any further, is that nothing is scientifically conclusive at this point, similar to, as Jack said, in a sense, the circumstantial evidence may point one way or the other, but the scientific proof, nobody can say exactly what it is now. So I just wanted to kind of make sure I'm highlighting that.
You know, I would disagree with that.
Okay, make a quick point that I'm going to go to.
There's no scientific.
Okay, maybe I'm saying it wrong.
Can we?
There's
can
no
we go?
Scientific proof. Of, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. You can go first, Hunt.
Oh yeah, I'm. Welcome everybody, man. I'm hoping everybody having a great morning. So, I think what needs to happen is that when we speak in terms of science and the media and politics, there needs to be a line drawn. So, in the political arena and in the media, they make you seem as if it's actually two sides to the issue. They do it all the time. Even when they write articles in the New York Times and they use scientific work, they never allow the scientists to title the article. So they're always hedging to the side that they want to fit, whether you got Fox News or CNN. The reality is in science, they pretty much have a good idea on where the virus came from. One example, when you go to the city, okay, and you go to the wet markets in Wuhan, right, when they did their research, what they found was they found both variants. I hope I'm saying this right. They found the B117, right? Well, there's a B, then that means there's an A lineage, and they found both lineages there. So, you know, in studying of evolution and biological evolution, you'll know that things have common ancestry. They found both of them in the Wuhan lab. Not to mention there's a river, right, that runs down that beautiful city. And they found the cases on the east side of the river. Not only did they find cases on the east side of the river, they found that the cases crossed over. Not only did they find that the cases crossed over the river, they found the cases going towards the lab. Now, if this particular pathogen came out of the lab, you wouldn't find them moving towards the lab. You would find them moving away from the lab. And you wouldn't be able to find both lineages at the wet market. Now, are we saying that somebody ran around and put both lineages in that market? Because you have other wet markets, too, where they found the lineages, too. So the point I want to make here is that it's a $70 billion industry, these animals. Not to mention there's a swine flu going around that's actually decimating the pigs. And so during this same time in November, they couldn't even use pig meat. So they was exclusively dealing with the exotic animals. There's a lot of factors on the side that shows that this is a, quote-unquote, arriving natural pathogen. Go ahead, Sean.
To add to that, well, first, the political point is most of the time, like climate change, you have a political argument over climate change. You have people on the right that believe climate change is not real, people on the left follow the scientists. You have a president, a previous president who was anti-science, and you have a incoming president or new president, sitting president, that is relying on the science. So it's always been a political game of trying to alleviate between what is what and what is not. As far as the science, right, the reason that people stalemate the lab leak is because of what Ong just said. And then there's you heard the word genome come out from Jack, right? So if the lab leak was if the lab leak hypothesis, because it's just a hypothesis and we need to make that clear, if the lab leak was a theory, they would have evidence for the theory. Jack said earlier that the evidence has to points either one way or the other way, or he says it actually points in one way, and he was ready to make that argument. I would beg to differ because he does not have the genomic evidence to prove the lab leak, all right, or to even subside and come to that conclusion. So we have to pay very close attention to the A lineage and B lineage, which was talked about, right, in the papers, and then we can't diminish the perspective of viruses. We have to understand the history of viruses. As biologists all know, that these things just don't spun up and turn up. Where is the, if it came out of a lab leak, we would have the evidence for that particular animals or that, let me say, species from which it came. Even with what we know today, We're more advanced than yesterday. So we have to compile all the evidence, but the reason we can't, we don't rule out certain things is because we have to be scientific in our endeavors, and we have to collect all the data and then come to an honest conclusion, not a faulty conclusion, based on feelings, emotions, lack of facts, and conspiracy theories.
Have either of you blasted the genome? I got you, Jack. I got you. One quick. I just want one quick question. For my understanding, because I'm listening to you guys again, y'all study this more than me. So, am I incorrect in thinking that people that are viewing this thing, that at this point, are they not both hypotheses? And I'm just asking for a simple clarity. And then Jack, you can answer that question for me. Are both of these viewpoints not both hypotheses? Because I just kind of felt like I heard one was a hypothesis and maybe one was a theory. Are they not both hypotheses at this point based on the evidence? Is that just a layman question from me? Jack, you can answer that and go ahead into your thought if you don't mind. I just want to get clarity on that.
I'm curious if either of you gentlemen have blasted the actual genome.
That's a question for me?
Both of you, please.
Yes, I have not blasted the genome because I'm not a scientist to blast the genome. I'm a science advocate. And what I do is I rely on experts. So I wouldn't have to actually blast the genome. But I do understand genomes, and we can go forward.
Okay, then, because when you blast the genome, you have to explain the presence of the FCS, which could have been inserted to confer immunity to SARS-like COVIDs, but also to COVIDs with FCS such as MERS. And the FCS in SARS-2 has a highly CpG-rich insertion, which is CGG-CGG, which is rare as a double instance in COVIDs, and deoptimizes the codon for replication. So to avoid the activation of the FCS, a shield of O-link glycans was possibly planned, inserting a proline in the sequence, but it failed to be synthesized because of an N-link glycan site just upstream of the S1-S2. So if you can't explain why, not you, but in general, if you can't explain how there's an FCS inserted between the S1 and S2, which is not evolutionary and is not found in any SARS-CoV viruses, how do you explain that?
Okay.
That's blasting the genome. So, you know, you're talking about scientific reality and proof. I'm looking at a blast of the genome, exactly what it looks like. GGT, GCA, GGT, ATA, I mean, so forth and so on, because we have blasted it, and we've gotten deep into the genomics of this. This does not look natural. The FCS has been blocked, but the activity of caspasin and the TPMRS2 have also been hampered. So you've got a glycostatus, you have a glycosylated S1-S2 junction. So how did that happen? That needs to be explained if this is a natural spillover event.
All right, real quick, bear with me. Just bear with me.
Yeah, I don't want to lose my thought.
I'm moderating, and you're going to get to talk. You're going to get to talk. Here we go. So, and this is, again, I'm the layman here, so y'all got to work with me. Y'all understand each other better than I do, so you have to work with me. So you have to work with me when I ask. Yeah, yeah, so just here it is. So I just want to make one piece of clarity. When I hear, and tell me if I'm wrong, Jack, and then y'all can go. When you say you have to be able to answer that question, if I'm understanding this again, just from reviewing you guys who do this much more than me, you're saying that question has to be answered, it has to be explained. You're saying from a scientific point, until that's explained, no one can come to a conclusion. Am I fairly understanding when you're not necessarily asking Uncle Sean that? But go ahead,
I think the answer to that is unless you could explain a natural evolutionary reason for an FCS insertion at the S1-S2, it pretty much so folds a pure spillover genotic event. Unless you can show examples on how that specifically happened. Because without this FCS at the S1-S2 insertion point, we would not have COVID-19. That's what's causing this whole thing. And it doesn't present itself in any of the SARS-CoV viruses, including SARS-1. So how did that happen?
So
let me explain.
All right, go ahead, brother. I just need that clarity because I didn't understand what he was saying until he just explained.
He's talking
that's
about
the reason I jumped in.
Sites.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, he's talking about those insertion sites. And before now, they was like, man, it would look a little funny. With those, he's talking about the GTTs and insertion. So what they found was they actually found that in nature already. Recent evidence has shown, I think Sean's going to have the article for that, where they found out where nature already did that insertion. So why would an immunologist, if an immunologist actually inserted that in there, he would be the greatest immunologist known on planet Earth to be able to insert that in there before we ever seen it in nature. Now we've actually seen that insertion in that particular site. So, you know, the evidence is starting to mount properly. I don't, Sean, do you actually have that article that actually talks about that insertion site? Because that's an important
article.
He said a lot of big words on it, but they found it. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so the spike protein sequencing of the Cambodian, Thai, and Japanese bat SARS coronaviruses provide insight into the natural evolution of the receptor binding domain, which is the RBD and S1 and S2 cleavage site. There is a specific point of reference here that allows us to know that this is a natural virus based on the RBD, the receptor binding domain. So when we
forget
look at
the RBD, talk about the FCS.
When we look at the science answers the question. They've already
you haven't even blasted this.
Yeah,
you know that the H2 and TMPRSS2 expression has a heparin sulfate binding?
Can I
it's a gradient in infection of proximal.
Jack. Then you can ask that question after he finishes. Go ahead, Sean.
You're going to have to bear
with the break, and then Jeff, you'll be able to respond. Go ahead and finish, Sean.
All right. One of the leading biologists in a paper printed, all right, is Robert F. Gary. Okay, he deals with the RATG13 remains, the virus with the highest overall sequence similarity to SARS-CoV-2. Now, we know this. We have found origins in bats that have a 96-97% match, right? Because you're never going to get 100% in what I just said earlier, Cambodia, Thai, Japanese bats. So we know what we're dealing with here. He's saying BLAST. So for people who don't understand BLAST, he's talking about a mechanism that helps them go ahead where they insert certain data and they run things. Now, what is faulty here is the way it's being positioned and pitched to people so that it can throw us off. What's understood is
okay, let me do this, brother. I got to go to break. We got to go to break. Yeah, we got to go to break, and we'll let Jack respond coming out of break. For everybody out there listening,
you
got to
let him
again,
finish.
I got to go to break, brother. You just got to understand. Don't do this to me right now on my show, bro. I got to go to break. Do you understand that? That's not cool. All right, we're going to break. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technology is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Always finding something to be mad for. Man, I hate my life. I wish I had yours, but it's yours. Yours, 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 yours. Yesterday I woke up out the matrix. So today it's right back to the basics. Blocking and tackling, taking angles in pursuit of my happiness and embracing my nappiness. It's Wakanda forever, head us under the weather. Sick and tired of the pressure, always gotta be fresher. Always gotta be extra, everybody is special. Social media training, if you speak in the language. All day long,
All I see is everybody perfect when I'm scrolling through my phone. Ooh. Seems like all they want is just a bunch of bragging people acting like they get it, but they don't.
Check out track All Day Long from Joe Blees and Square Business Entertainment, one of our longtime sponsors, providing a little music for our talk show, and LNG Technologies. Thank them for returning as a sponsor to the Mental Dialogue talk show. This morning's discussion question, COVID-19 variants, more dangerous or more fear-mongering? Our special guest, Jack Plante from the Drastic Research, as well as Brother Unk and Sean Phillips from Pseudo Killers, as we're having a dialogue about the origins. We're going to, again, move through this subject matter. Again, y'all bear with me. When we go to break, we got to go to break. It is what it is. From what I understand, Sean, you were saying, hey, it's being positioned in this particular manner. From what I understand, Jack was saying, talk specifically about the FCS. This is the one question I heard him get out. Jack, if you will, go ahead and give a response, again, just from your perspective, from the research that you found. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, you know, we don't want to turn this into a passionate, angered debate, because it shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
When I ask specifically if you've blasted the genome, it's because if you're just gathering your information from reading papers on the Internet, you could find left and right all over the place, but you yourself with your naked eyes have to see something. I want to reference one thing you said before, which is absolutely incorrect, and you said if this was genetically altered scientifically, that you would see it. That's not true at all. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Ralph Baric, but Dr. Ralph Baric at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, is the foremost, I would say, coronavirus expert in the United States. In fact, Dr. Baric and his lab is the sister lab to Wuhan University, and he actually taught Xi Jinping. And if you go and research Dr. Baric or study him or ask anything of him, he developed a technique called noceum, which is spelled like it sounds, right? N-O-S-E-E-E-U-M, but it's also noceum. And he's developed the ability to genetically splice and engineer any genome without leaving any trace at all of scientific intervention. So the argument of you would see it is 1,000% wrong, and that's 1,000% wrong proved by Dr. Baric himself, who invented the technique. And I think the biggest problem here is the politicizing of this, of if Trump never said China, I don't think we'd be as anti-lab leak as we are. The other misconception here is, what is a lab leak? Does a lab leak necessarily mean it was genetically altered? No, it doesn't mean that. A sample could have leaked from a lab. A sample that was potentially a spillover could have leaked from the lab. That's quite possible. If you want to get into a debate about Dr. Gary, we can, but it's going to turn into a purely scientific debate. And if you haven't blasted this genome, it's going to have a hard time having that debate. He has some salient points. He's also financed directly by NIH and has grants and compendiums. So I'm not a big fan of Dr. Gary, nor am I a big fan of most of these people, because they're self-serving. So you've got a furin cleavage site, an FCS, that doesn't belong there in that insertion. More importantly, everything surrounding it gives the appearance of an LAV. And that's in particular where most of our leaning goes to, is this was an accidental release of an LAV. Not biowarfare. That's biowarfare is just off the table. That's completely ridiculous. China wouldn't have done that. And if they did, they would have been smarter. When we're talking about possible zoonosis, the first question that has to be answered completely is, how did a bat from 1,000 miles away,
who only usually has a radius of 100 miles in flight. During hibernation season, fly 1,000 miles and accidentally wind up on the doorstep of the city that conducts coronavirus research. So that's kind of an odd question to begin with. If there was a spillover event, where was that original outbreak and where is the result of that? When you talk about the wet market, they have been absolutely unable to, both China and this farcical nonsense WHO investigation, find any traces of any animal in any wet market that showed any positive indication for coronavirus. So if you're saying it's zoonotic, so the spillover either has to be H2H immediately from inception, or there needs to be an intermediary. So if the market didn't produce an intermediary, and if there was an intermediary, there had to be an original breakout. That doesn't seem to be the case. This looks like a lab. There's virtually no scientific question that it looks like an LAV. And when you start to put together the pieces of the puzzle, why would there be an LAV? It starts to make a lot of sense. I don't know if you're familiar with PREDICT, which was supposed to prevent these kind of things from happening, which necessarily didn't, but they were supposed to. But PREDICT was attempting, with quite a few other people, to create a pan-coronavirus vaccine. Now, what's the odds of a virus that's new for humans, adapted for human infection, because of a sequence new for its group, with both the FCS and a high-affinity RBD, all of a sudden just appear out of nowhere? When you get deeper into it and really look at the possibilities of an LAV, that's what it looks like what this is. When you start to break that apart, that starts to make logical sense. And it's not as black and white as the way it seems. It looks to be a mistake. That's what it looks to be. Because the Wuhan ancestral variants are unusually quiet in terms of mutations. The rate of mutation more than octupled in VOCs worldwide. But the molecular clock is defective and stumbles like a drunken person. You either have a G614 at the beginning. There's a de novo assembly, which makes no sense because of contaminations. So something is odd here. And what looks like the most logical thing that happened is quite a few people involved, including the U.S., decided to make a pan-coronavirus vaccine. Yeah. And there's nothing terrible about that. They're trying to protect people and create something correctly. If this virus escaped, or the vaccine escaped, before attenuation was completed, that's probably the best explanation of what happened. And purely from a genetic perspective.
Thank you for that perspective. I want to let pseudo killers get in at this point because we've got to go to another break. And I don't. And I want the second hour to get into the variants. Yeah. I'm gonna definitely let y'all jump in. Again, we're at the break, so y'all will have this point coming out of this break. I think we heard a lot from that perspective. So yeah, any response to what you heard, we'll get this dialogue out, and then we're gonna move into these variants after y'all give y'all response. So thank y'all for your patience. Again, we are up against a break. We're just trying to have a dialogue, not a debate here, so I appreciate y'all, and y'all will get y'all response coming out of the break. For anybody out there listening, if you do have any questions for our esteemed research teams, you can get in on this discussion this morning, especially as we move into the variants. The number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most It's more than a brand, it's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, COVID-19. Variants more dangerous or more fear-mongering, but started out with our special guest, Jack Punty from the Drastic Research, as well as Brother Unk and Sean Phillips from Pseudo Killers, as we dived into the origins, and we're going to move into the variants after we get a response from the Pseudo Killer, because again, this is what, in my opinion, scientists do. I'm always enthused to hear at this level, because again, some of this is above my pay grade, if you will. But yeah, fellas, if you will, any response to, in a sense, Jack and his team, they've kind of leaned the logic leans here for the way they see the science. How do you see the science just from your perspective? Again, not a direct debate, as he said, but just how do you see the science? And then we're going to move on after you give a response.
So just do me a favor, Montoya. If we're coming up to the break and one of us speaking, say Sean and me speaking, let us finish our idea.
I can't do that, brother. I got to go to break. The reason I'm on the reason I have a show.
No, I get the Montoya. I get the break. I respect the breaks. I'm just saying if you cut off.
Okay, so just let you make your point, brother. Make your point, brother.
So what's happening is we're not actually getting a fair shake. So Jack is actually allowing you to speak through the segments, right? So let me make this point. So to the information, we're not trying to debate. What you hear Jack doing is he's throwing out a whole lot of confusing terms with no explanations of it.
I just want you to give your response to how you see
the
science.
You
don't have to respond to
it. So where the science is very, very clear. I gave people evidence of finding lineage B, that's B117, right? Where there's a B, there's an A. They also found A in the Wuhan wet labs. It's a $70 billion industry. This is what they do. They eat all kind of exotic foods. Within that $70 billion industry, they also have an illegal industry with bringing exotic animals that shouldn't even be there. So they actually know that. Whether they found the exact animal or not, they haven't found the animals from the N1H1 outbreak in 1918. That should never be brought up because they never really find these things. But the evidence clearly states that the cases actually are moving towards the lab, right, down the East River, the river that's going down the middle of the Wuhan province. It's moving towards the lab. If it came from the lab, and I'm not saying genetically altered, which the conversation did, he did make points on how this gene was inserted, right? But the point that needs to be understood to the layman is, if the cases arose or the virus arose in the lab, then they would move away from the lab. The evidence doesn't show that. It clearly shows that cases are moving down the river towards the lab. But go ahead, Sean.
All right. So I think that we have to be very, very careful here to dismiss science. And I'm sorry if I'm echoing. I changed my location. However, the words that's being used is probably or this looks like is not answering the actual question. For us to properly answer the question, we need data. We don't have any data. There's no existing data from the other side of the argument that would strengthen the hypothesis of a lab leader. That we can't move beyond it, so it's just a guess. We're guessing here. Now, what we have is science, and I'm sorry, I probably sound clearer now. What we have is science doing its job to answer the question, and then what we have is anti-science refusing to deal with the evidence, okay? So earlier when I mentioned a specific location and bats that have similar lineage to the origins of stars, and we talked about the RBD receptor, right? This is how we know that it's not genetically modified, because they've already tried to genetically modify the binding scepter. They've already looked at the virus over and over and again and tried to falsify, right, origins. This is what science does. They try to falsify origins. So they try to go in there and replicate and replicate and replicate. This is why it's going the way that it's going. This is why we have a 96% match in bats that was nowhere near the incident in several different places. And no, we're not saying that a bat flew all the way down there. We're saying that there's a common reservoir going here between these bats in these different locations that are matching 96% of what we see in SARS-CoV-2, right? So now, how is that done? That is done by going in these caves, swabbing these bats, looking at their teeth, and doing all kind of other technical work. It's not done by guessing. It's not done by casting doubt. It's done by rigorous methodology, rigorous study. And it takes certain things. I heard Brother Jack say he was dismissive of Robert F. Gary. He's not the only person on the article. There's like 30 sources that back that up. And then on top of that, there is a team of researchers who dove directly into the situation to make sure that they came to the conclusion that they come to. If they didn't agree on the conclusion, it wouldn't be published the way that it was. Newly sequenced SARS coronaviruses from bats captured in Cambodia, Thailand, and Japan possess different combinations of the spike motifs in the RBD and the S1-S2 junction that were first described in SARS-CoV-2. These observations are consistent with the natural origins of SARS-CoV-2 and strongly inconsistent with the laboratory origin. Studies of coronavirus diversity in bats and other species must continue, because they want to keep doing the work. To assume such is indifferent. We have to look, like you said earlier, if we're going to weigh all the evidence, right, then we have to see from one side evidence, which we have not gotten, and the other side can't just have evidence that they're presenting and it not be considered here. It be dismissed from right-wingists who have an issue with certain things and then say who they have trust with. Mm-hmm. Science allows us and affords us the opportunity to falsify data, no matter which side it comes from. Science gives us the tool. So in order for us to come to an honest conclusion, we can't just be up or dismissive because of personalities or because we don't like certain things. I'm not dismissing anything that Brother Jack says. What I am specifically saying is, if we're going, like he said, if we're going to have a scientific discussion and so forth, then if that's the word of choice, then you can't dismiss the work that has been done and put forth without falsifying. So asking us if we
Sean, let me put this source in there, Sean. You put this source in there real quick for the conversation. So we don't just have conversation with all sources. We want the journal Nature Medicine. And it says, our analysis clearly show the SARS-CoV-2 is not a laboratory construct or a purposefully manipulated virus. The title of that article in Nature Medicine is the proximal origin of SARS-CoV-2. And I think you got about 10 or 15 sources over there. So at this point, so the audience can clearly understand what's going on, we got to start presenting our sources so that the people can actually go back and read these free, because the sources are free now. In these prestigious journals, which are very, very valuable in producing proper science and proper methodology. So once again, the proximal origin of SARS-CoV-2, it's a very, very easy read,
and it will help y'all understand the conversations we was having today.
When you keep referring
to 90%. We're getting to the top of the hour. We're about to get to the top of the hour. And so what I wanted to share and show, here's what I'm actually looking to show, and I appreciate you guys for bringing this level of discussion to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Y'all discussion sounds very different than anything we're seeing on TV. And for me, this was just an opportunity for our audience to hear people who take very scientific approaches and how they might come to very different conclusions without, in a sense, in my opinion, the way I'm hearing this thing is without the lean of how it sounds when it's politicized.
I just have a question, if I could jump in for a minute.
I'll go over here. Go ahead, Jack.
If you keep referring to a 96% nucleotide match, are you referring to RIPG 13 or 4991?
I think that might be for you, Sean. I think you were the one that made that reference.
All right. So what we're talking about. All right. So
are you referring to RATG 13 or 4991? Which one?
Okay. First, you're not going to have 100% match, so it can't be a specific one.
Listen, all the papers are giving a 96% to 97% match. But I'm asking you in your presentation.
Listen,
are you referring to RATG 13 or 4991? No,
I'm answering your question because
let him answer it the way he's going to answer it. You have
several coronaviruses, beta coronaviruses, and alpha coronaviruses that people are unaware of. I am answering your question, okay? And I'm telling you, the origins when they are doing this, and this is basically going off sequencing, right? Because that's what we're talking about, sequencing. It's proof that these bats carry. Now, that's what our study says, because the study has been strengthened, even with a recent study on the 411 bats.
Listen, I just asked you, are you referring to, at 96%, RATG 13? Yes, it does, or 4991.
They have evidence for both.
I can answer that, Sean. First of all, let the audience state for the record. No one would actually throw out the coordinates, because I can throw out Y442 or L472 or 79. These are coordinates based for the SARS. You wouldn't throw that coordinates out like that in this conversation. It's like this gallop.
Yeah, because if you're talking about RATG13, it's a consensus sequence.
Right, but you wouldn't throw that out in the con- it makes it, it's,
yeah,
it's,
you
a,
would not.
It's almost like that's a wild question out of nowhere. You wouldn't do that. That's all I'm saying, Jack.
It's a pertinent
like I know.
It's a pertinent question. If you're talking about 96% nucleotide match, which genome are you referring to?
So which one was you talking about, Jack? Educate us, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, the one that they keep talking about is RATG13 and 4991, that they're saying it's only 97% and 96% match. But the problem is RATG13 is a consensus sequence. It's a red herring. It was created on a keyboard. So, you know, you have to really get deeper. I mean, listen, I sent Montoya.
Did you get a source for that red herring, though?
You're tripping now.
I gave Montoya a list of 700 papers that we've researched in depth, and you're welcome to look at those if you're this interested. If you're this interested, it's a fantastic, wonderful thing, and it actually thrills me that people outside of the field are this interested. So I commend you for your diligence and for your intelligence. And if you really want to do deeper research, Montoya can give you the links, and then you can start to draw conclusions after all that. Because, I've been on this.
We have them, Jack.
Let him finish, bro. We're not.
That was me, Montoya.
Because and there's 27 of us, that are some of the most skilled scientists in the world, including Dr. Luigi Warren, who without him there would be no vaccines, we're not 100% conclusive on what happened. So you can't draw a conclusion
under any circumstances. There's a, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the whole thing that happened in Yunnan back in 2013, which leads Credence
to... Let me go to break, and you can give that example coming out of break, and then we got to move on to the variants.
Sure.
Again, appreciate what you're doing, but I got to go to break. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back. Listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
All day long, all I see is everybody perfect when I'm scrolling through my phone. Ooh. Seem like all they want is just a bunch of bragging people acting like they get it, but they don't. It's true. What am I supposed to do? I feel like I'm overdue. Worked a couple lifetimes. I feel like I'm over two. Feel like I got more to do. I know I ain't done yet. Handle what you supposed to do. Gotta teach my son that. It's a blessing in the sunrise. Wake up and return that. I just hope that you can learn that before the sun sets. Cause when the morning comes, the world gon' keep going on. Dashboard, couple more steps on my passport. Only other thing I can ask for is love. Can't be sitting around and wishing that I had more. Always finding something to be mad for. Man, I hate my life, I wish I had yours, but it's yours. Yours. Yesterday I woke up out the matrix. So today is right back to the basics. Blocking and tackling, taking angles in pursuit of my happiness and embracing my nappiness. It's Wakanda forever, head us under the weather. Sick and tired of the pressure, always gotta be fresher. Always gotta be extra, everybody is special. Social media training, if you speak in the language. All day long, all I see is everybody perfect when I'm scrolling through my phone. Like all they want.
Hey, hurry
up, man.
NIH and the State Board of Health. Why we are doing things about this that we didn't do for the common cold, influenza, or respiratory syncytial virus. And then ask yourself, why is a vaccine that is supposedly so effective having a breakout in the middle of the summer when respiratory viral syndromes don't do that? And to help you understand that, you need to know the condition is called antibody-mediated viral enhancement. That is a condition done when vaccines work wrong, as they did in every coronavirus study done in animals on coronaviruses after the SARS outbreak, and done in respiratory syncytial virus, where a vaccine used in a vulnerable individual done the wrong way, which cannot be done right for a respiratory virus which has a very low pathogenicity rate, causes the immune system to actually fight the virus wrong and let the virus become worse than it would with native infection. And that is why you are seeing an outbreak right now. In fact, in that flash drive you're going to have coming to you and in the emails with six extra will be a study showing that 75% of people who had COVID-19 positive symptom cases in Barnstable, Massachusetts outbreak were fully vaccinated. Therefore, there is no reason for treating any person vaccinated any differently than any person unvaccinated. You should also know that no vaccine, even the ones I support and would give to myself and my children, ever stops infection. In 2014, there was outbreak of mumps in the National Hockey League. The only people who came down the symptoms were the people who were unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status. Boy, that sounds like a great argument for vaccines. But a question that you should ask yourself, knowing that half of the people who came down with symptomatic disease had no contact with an unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status individual, where did they get the disease? And the answer was from the vaccinated individuals. No vaccine prevents you from getting infection. You get infected, you shed pathogen. This is especially true of viral respiratory pathogens. You just don't get symptomatic from it. So you cannot stop spread. You cannot make these numbers that you've planned on get better by doing any of the things you're doing, because that is the nature of viral respiratory pathogens. And you can't prevent it with a vaccine because they don't do the very thing you're wanting them to do. And you will be chasing this the remainder of your life until you recognize that the Center for Disease Control and the Indiana State Board of Health are giving you very bad scientific guidance. And instead, read the articles that are going to come in the email and are on this flash drive, and listen to the people in this audience here tonight who actually have recognized the advice they are getting from the CDC and the NIH is counterfactual. And that's why you're still fighting this with this vaccine that supposedly was going to make all of this go away, but has suddenly managed to make an outbreak of COVID-19 develop in the middle of the summer when vitamin D levels are at their highest. By the way, the other thing that would be necessary, any vaccine restriction to be considered, is if there were no other treatment available. And I can tell you, having treated over 15 COVID-19 patients, that between active loading with vitamin D, ivermectin, and zinc, that there is not a single person who has come anywhere near the hospital. And we already have studies that show that if you achieve a 25 hydroxy vitamin D level greater than 55, your risk of COVID-19 death will drop down to one quarter of the population average for the United States. And there are
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, COVID-19 variants more dangerous or more fear-mongering? As we have special guest Jack Ponte from Dress Research, as well as Brother Unc and Sean Phillips from Pseudo Killers. Fellas, I'm going to let y'all know we are completely moving on from the origin conversation because, again, we've promoted getting into the variants, and I want to start with this video that went very viral from this Dr. Stock, I think I'm saying his name correctly. Brother Unc, I'll actually start with you. I wanted to get in your opinion of what you just heard. I think I basically sent it to y'all, and so y'all are, in a sense, prepared for this. But I want to hear what you, because, again, what we've established in this last hour is the degree of science that both of y'all do, whether you're obviously on, in a sense, different sides of the origin theory, hypothesis, whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying that simply from a layman's standpoint. I don't understand it to the degree that any of you do, and I don't claim to. Again, I just wanted my audience to be how scientists go back and forth, or science enthusiasts, if you will, go back and forth, versus how we go back and forth when we're trying to understand this thing. But this viral, again, this video went viral because a lot of people are saying, hey, what about this? So when you see that video or heard that video, what do you have to say about that, Brother Unc? I'm sorry, let me bring you back live. Just need a quick reminder to let y'all know we are live during the breaks. All right, go ahead, Brother. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, appreciate you, Montoya. Yeah, first of all, the guy's not a doctor, actually. He deals with functional medicine. It's one of those sidebar things. So he's not an epidemiologist or a virologist, right? He plays to the crowd. He's using a whole lot of intelligent words and make you think you know what he's talking about. But once you actually slow the conversation down, let me give you a quick on exactly who he is. Hold on. So we always use, okay, science-based medicine. So watch this. Functional medicine, because he talked about functional medicine. The ultimate misnomer in the world of integrative medicine. Okay, functional medicine, it sounds so scientific and reasonable. Right? It's anything but. In fact, functional medicine combines the worst features of conventional medicine with the hip keeping of crack of it. So basically, the guy that was speaking, the layman wouldn't know it. He would be considered quack in the medical field. Why? Because he's not bringing science-based medicine. Right? He actually denies vaccines. Right? He denies a lot of information that is sound. Right, like the origins of viruses. We know what viruses do to humanity. Sean spoke of we can pretty much guess. Remember, science is predictive. So science can predict where the next outbreak will come from based off of the history of viruses. So this guy here makes a lot of assertions. He's really overwhelming for people who don't understand the subject. And I think you speak to this all the time, Montoya. You talk about confirmation bias. And the mentality behind that, like, what's the mental behind that? So he actually speaks to those who are not educated in said subjects, right? And he fills in the gap for you when you already want to believe something, yo. He's the perfect one for that. But go ahead, Sean, because we actually did a show on this guy. But go ahead, Sean.
I'm sorry. I'm bringing y'all back live. Sorry about that. Just bear with me. All right, Sean, I got you in a second. Just get a, again, your thoughts on it. I want to get Jack's thoughts on this video as well. All right, Sean, you're live now. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So he states that respiratory viruses wait for, well, yeah, he states that the respiratory viruses wait for the immune system to get sick in the winter, which is baseless. The seasonality of respiratory viruses has always been complex and depending on a whole bunch of factors. So, you know, we really don't have, it doesn't have anything to do with direct immunity. So, like, you know, there's examples of that, like the cold. You know, people gather indoors during the winter time, right? You're condensed in, people around, germs can flow and pass more rapidly because you're in a building. So it's things like that. For him to come out and say or try to create the seasonality of something was disingenuous because it doesn't give it context. And then what he was referring to or alluding to is something that wasn't played in the video clip, where he tries to play the vitamin D game. He's setting the stage. So there was overwhelming information in that. And like Unc said, we did cover this video, and there's some point for point refutations that knock it out. And then there's some misrepresentation of data to mislead or persuade. But it was the ultimate gist gallop the way that whole school board meeting went. And how it was viewed, you know, like millions of times on social media.
No, absolutely. Yeah, plus, I'm going to go ahead and get Jack's thoughts as well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say, Montoya, I want everybody listening. So if you look at a school board meeting, that information doesn't necessarily apply to your particular region and your school board. I just want y'all to know that.
No, makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah, and the one quick thought, one thing I just happened to glance at it again, I rely on you guys because I know y'all know more information than I do, but even the seasonal idea of him saying there's an outbreak in the summer, the one little thing I found was, in a sense, for as long as, I guess, COVID has been here, that was, those numbers would be similar last summer prior to the vaccine, so he kind of made reference to it being because of the vaccine. But I guess the way I understand it, those numbers would look the same if you were to make that comparison. Not saying I'm right. I'm just glancing, saw some, you know, another doctor kind of explaining that. Let me get Brother Jack back in here. Jack, your thoughts on that video as well?
I mean, a little knowledge is very, very dangerous with anyone at any time. And he pretty much so exemplifies a little knowledge. What he was trying to say, I don't even know if he was trying to say it, but what he was trying to allude to, there's a different way of putting it together than he did. But again, you know, you still got people out there, or the majority of people who think they actually took a vaccine against COVID-19 when they didn't, because it's not an attenuated vaccine. So miscommunication and not understanding things are part and parcel with the way the world works today and the Internet works today. He attempted to make salient points. He failed, but the direction he was going in bears merit to research correctly.
So let me ask you this, just from my understanding. I think you just made the statement that of a particular type of vaccine, so I don't quite understand that in, you know, me as a layman.
Well,
so if you can explain that, and then I want to hear
the government did a really, really bad job of explaining to the people what this vaccine actually is. An attenuated vaccine is like measles, mumps, polio, so forth and so on, where they take the actual virus, and it's a dead version of the virus, so it doesn't give you the disease, but it creates antibodies around the entire virus. This vaccine, any of them, including Vector in Russia, these are not attenuated vaccines. All these vaccines are doing
is attempting to make your body recognize the spike protein in the hope that it will reject the spike protein. So you're not vaccinated against COVID-19 coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2. You're vaccinated against the spike protein of the genome of SARS-CoV-2. And I think that that created a massive sense of false security for people at large. And the reason why this thing spread so pandemically that it did is because you are the most infectious before you yourself have symptoms. So you're infecting all kinds of people before you even have one symptom. So what happened with this is and they shouldn't have rolled it out the way they did, but that's another discussion, because it's creating selection pressure. But this is not an attenuated vaccine. And yes, science proves that. Just study it. It's not an attenuated vaccine. This is a vaccine against a spike protein.
All right. Ankh and Sean, either one of you, again, when you hear that perspective, again, this is trying to help people like myself understand that difference, because here's something that I said. I don't know if it directly relates, but I just like to share it from my thoughts. So when I try to do, so y'all seen it. I've done videos just trying to kind of keep people abreast, again, not on y'all. Thank you. Not necessarily on y'all level, if you will. So now I understand what he means by the attenuated vaccine per se, right?
Right.
One thing that I said on one video was I didn't think that the CDC did a good job of explaining exactly how the vaccine would work. I've said that. I didn't know to use those terms, and I don't know that even in me saying that would have meant exactly what Jack is saying, if that makes sense. Because, again, I'm not familiar. I mean, I've heard the term attenuated vaccine, but to explain it to people, I would stay away from that. So I just wonder if when I'm wondering, because I think you've seen the video, when I was saying that I don't think the CDC did a good job of explaining how these vaccines would work, does it sound similar to what I'm hearing Jack explain, in a sense, in my opinion, more scientifically, or you feel different about that? Go ahead.
I feel completely, first of all, he's right when he says it's not an attenuated vaccine. An attenuated vaccine is the second generation vaccine. You also have first generation vaccine. But now we're in the third generation vaccine. Each vaccine is used a different platform. So you would never say that the Wright brothers didn't have a plane just because it wasn't a jet plane. Because a jet plane is a plane. And the plane that the Wright brothers flew was a plane. So this is a vaccine, because vaccines primarily do what? They stimulate an immune response. Jack talked about the ACE2, a protein, right? He talked about the receptors, right? The thing they call it a crown, it looks like a crown, right? And so what they do is, instead of using the virus, a dead, killed virus, which would take you about maybe 4 to 5 years to grow in an environment to make that virus less dangerous, instead of doing that, they just use the code, the mRNA code, right? Actually, these particular vaccines work just like your body works. So vaccines stimulate the immune system. The mRNA vaccine does the exact same thing. It causes an immune response from your body. The code goes into the cell, right? And maybe Sean can get into that. It causes your body to think that, wait a minute, This spike protein is here. It's dangerous. And your body produces antibodies off that. The same way the attenuated vaccines did, second generation, and the same way the first generation vaccine did it. They're trying to cause an immune response, right? Make your body think that the actual virus is here. So when you run across the real virus, you already have protection for it. This is science. This is the next generation. So when I hear this conversation, I'll be wondering, like, I remember early on when the settlers came to the United States and they literally walked or had a horse and wagon and went from California to New York, or from New York to California. I remember that. This is before the railroad was built. And then after the railroad was built, people would argue, well, the railroad is dangerous. No, wait a minute. No, it's dangerous to walk or ride a covered wagon through Indian territory the whole 9 yards. But wait a minute. After the trains were built, the railroads,
connected both oceans together. Then you had plane transportation. So now that's like saying plane transportation that only takes you 3 hours from New York or from Baltimore or to Atlanta to California is dangerous, or it's not a mode of transportation because we used to walk or ride covered wagons. That makes no sense. It's all transportation. mRNA vaccines is a vaccine. It just works off of a different platform. Go ahead, Sean.
To add to that, that was a beautiful explanation of how the evolutionary process takes place, how our brains evolve to come up with faster ways to figure out solutions. So to add to that, this continuation thing is, you know, people had a problem with second-generation vaccines. I recall very vividly, right, people had outbursting because it wasn't similar to the first-generation vaccines or regular inoculation because it was a painful way. So people began to question, can you make this safer? Remember, safety has always been a primary focus of evolutionary-minded medicine. So safety is at the forefront with mRNA vaccines. Why is safety such a big deal? Because it doesn't need a weakened or dead virus. It doesn't. So it makes it faster and safer to produce, and it can do the same job. Now, do people want a weakened strand of this in them? No. Why? Because the efficacy is heavily reduced. We have this example in some of those vaccines that's coming out of China, right? Where you have like barely 50% efficacy regarding those second generation vaccines. So the technology is sound to do its specific job and serve its purpose for the people. Now, like you use the example of travel, Unc, right? You remember once upon a time, people used to cook on cast iron pots. Then it went to cast iron stoves. Then it went to electric, you know, the evolution of electric stove. It's the same process at some point. Now people using microwaves to do certain things and
Those analogies make a lot of sense. So here's one quick question for me, and then I want to move on to something else. So a quick question for me, Jack, when you say, hey, it didn't do a good job of explaining what type of vaccines these were to the public, if you will. Obviously, you understood it, but these brothers clearly understood it. But for us, in a sense, as the public, saying, hey, this is a, you know, as I'm hearing these brothers say, hey, maybe a third-generation vaccine, if you will. So what would you have liked to have been in the explanation that you think would have helped us from a public standpoint, understanding that difference? Is there something that you would have liked for them to have explained that would have helped us? Maybe it's kind of a curious question that I have.
Well, I think that the public, by and large, thought that it was a magical moment of I'm vaccinated, life is good. Let me go to a bar with 10,000 people in it and party the night away. We've clearly seen that's not the case. We've clearly seen a massive amount of breakthrough, especially in Israel right now, where the efficacy has dropped to about 22%. We've seen that it's not working the way they hoped it would. And, you know, if you really want to debate this, I might be able to call in Dr. Warren, who actually invented the mRNA protocol that the vaccines are based on, and he co-holds the patent to Moderna. So nobody understands it the way that he does. It's not the magical elixir. I think that...
Yeah, I understand that. I guess if you will,
easing restrictions so rapidly was wrong. I think introducing it at the height of a pandemic was wrong, because you're going to create selection pressure, which is the biggest problem. I think people should have said, here's a vaccine. Actually, it should have been rolled out in the fall, not the summer. But you had, you know, two competing problems, right? Trump wanted to be a hero, and Biden wanted to be a hero. So they rushed into this, you know, on the recommendation of Fauci, which is a whole program could be dedicated to that idiot. And I think we've got a problem. It might be selection pressure that's a problem. Let's hope it's not. Or if our hypothesis is correct, then what's actually happening with these variants is you have a de-attenuating LAV. And if that's the case, then it's a problem, but not as big as a problem, because we don't have wild variants being created. We have evolutionary variants being created of the LAV returning to its natural form. So that, you know, that's the
biggest problem. Let me ask the pseudo killers, if I will, at this point, just because it's kind of partly my thought or question I have, but I just want to hear how they, what they understand about it, because you always make reference to what is the process you're saying where, you know, in a sense, due to, I guess, the way we're rolling out the mass vaccinations, mm-hmm. as you explained to me yesterday in a personal call, Jack, you said that, hey, to a degree, the virus itself is going to find easier ways to transmit, and some of it
selection pressure around the vaccine, it's a real problem.
Right, and I just wanted to hear what the pseudo killers think of that term and how it could be affecting what we're seeing as we move our discussion into the Delta and Lambda variants. Any thoughts to hearing what Jack had to say about the selection process?
So that's why they actually made the mRNA vaccine. I think Sean kind of brushed on it, because the mRNA vaccine is actually evolutionary minded. So we're surrounded by hundreds of millions of viruses. Every time you breathe, you breathe in bacteria and viruses. And so your medicine has to be evolutionary minded. So the mRNA vaccine can actually tweak the catching of a quote-unquote variant. Now, he's talking about the selective pressures. He's talking about the pressures that vaccinated people are putting on the virus, causes the virus to mutate. Well, every time the virus gets a host, it potentially can mutate, because that's what evolution do. Life wants to survive and live. Simple as that. And the only way life can live is that it just works good enough in different environments when different environments are actually put forward. So if that's the point that he's making, well, we need to look at, what about all the diseases that have been eradicated? The vaccine introduction to the ecology always causes environmental pressures, right, that actually slows down and kills the quote-unquote virus. Polio, measles, mumps, yellow fever. Now, these viruses have not went anywhere. Don't get it twisted, right? They're at bay because of the vaccines that we take. But the environmental pressures that's placed on the quote-unquote pathogen slows it down in this inability to quote-unquote infect other people. But go ahead, Sean.
No, I'm going to jump in right here because I got to jump in right here. Got a couple of minutes before we go to break. So, again, just trying to drive this conversation towards the variants 100%. So as I'm listening to what Brother Unc just broke down, great explanation, if you will, for me as a layman or somebody out there listening, then the question becomes, and this is a curious question, again, I don't claim to understand it the way you do, so just take it from someone who doesn't understand this. The question becomes, after hearing you, Unc, is, well, based on what you just said, why do we get, for example, the Delta variant that acts different? And again, it may sound like a dumb question, but just understand that people become curious because it sounds like that, hey, this vaccine should be the fix. But now they're telling us the Delta and the Lambda are worse. So it seems like a never-ending thing that people don't quite understand. So you only got a minute. Just give me a quick response to that. We'll go to break, and we'll delve into that with all three of you after the break. Go ahead, Unc.
Let's do this. Evolution actually has no direction. So if you look at the first four strands of coronavirus that came from Uzbekistan, they was lethal in Uzbekistan. But by the time it came to the United States in the 1900s, it ended up being the common cold. And we all know the common cold is not lethal. So it doesn't mean that the variants are going to be more lethal. That's a misnomer. They could actually go in the other direction and not be lethal at all, or may just cause certain symptoms. So when y'all listen to these different variants, it don't mean that the variant got to necessarily be worse or better or whatever. So that's my take on that.
Okay, so that sounds fine. We'll go to a break, and we'll come back and get Sean and Jack's thoughts. Again, just moving into the variants and what we understand about them, why they're different, and in a sense, why the vaccination alone or booster shot and all these things may not simply be a fix based on what's happening right now. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
The way that's accessible to non-scientists, I hope you'll tell us, do you have concerns about these vaccines for people who aren't at great risk?
Yes. I think that my concerns are that the government is not being transparent with us about what those risks are. And so I'm of the opinion that people have the right to decide whether to accept vaccine or not, especially since these are experimental vaccines. This is a fundamental right having to do with clinical research ethics. And so my concern is that I know that there are risks, but we don't have access to the data, and the data haven't been captured rigorously enough so that we can accurately assess those risks. And therefore, for folks like your audience, you and me, we don't really have the information that we need to make a reasonable decision. Unfortunately, the risk-benefit analysis is not being done. So that's one of my other objections, is that we toss around these words risk-benefit analysis casually.
Yes.
As if it's a very deep science. It's not. Normally, at this stage, the CDC, ACIP would have performed those risk-benefit analyses. They would be data-based and science-based. They're not right now. It's kind of a little bit of the seat of the pants, and that I really object to. So you ask me, do I think the risks, the risk-benefit ratio is appropriate for this age cohort? The truth is I can't really say, but certainly I can say that the risk-benefit ratio for those 18 and below doesn't justify vaccines, and there's a pretty good chance that it doesn't justify vaccination in these very young adults.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, COVID-19 variants more dangerous or more fear-mongering? From what I understand, this is Robert Malone. I think this cut was done earlier this month. I may be wrong about it, and I know timing can make a huge difference. So that's why I'm going to go to you, Sean, to make a response first to this. Because, again, I know how much research you do, and you would know if there's more evidence to even speak to what he talked about. Here's what I gathered, again, just listening to that, in a sense, as I admitted, layman's, you know, I love science to a degree, but obviously not to the degree that y'all do, so that's why I brought y'all on this show. But with that said, as I listened to him, I've talked about on other shows just leading up to and talking about the pandemic, the idea that any medicine that rolls out and that you may be given, a physician or a doctor who may be administering that is basically taking a risk assessment on, you know, whether it should be given now because most medicines carry side effects, if you will. So, again, I think, Unc, you may have explained to me that this Robert Malone is not, in a sense, the only person or whatever, but he was propagated on that show as, quote-unquote, being the inventor of the mRNA, just to highlight that as well. So supposedly the inventor of the mRNA is saying, hey, we just want to get the data to be transparent. He thinks that the government is not being. And so, Sean, is there data since the time that this cut may have been played that now gives us that risk-benefit analysis that he said is not available at this point, because it sounds like all he was saying was we need to see it from a science-based point versus right now they're not putting that out there publicly is how I heard that. What do you have out there, Sean, in reference to the risk analysis with people considering this vaccine or not? Hold on 1 second, brother. Let me bring you live. So I apologize again, just been having some background noise. I've been trying to keep it down. All right, I got you live now. Go ahead, Brother Sean.
Okay, so here's my response to Dr. Malone. First, I'm going to use a real-time study. I'm going to use two. Let's go back to what was mentioned by Jack when he brought up Massachusetts, the Massachusetts incident. What the Massachusetts incident showed is what I'm going to clear up for Robert Malone, Dr. Malone now. All right, the Massachusetts study showed in real time just how effective the vaccine is at preventing disease, hospitalization, and death. When you look at the overall complexity of the people infected in that study, and then you go back and see the hospitalization numbers, there were no deaths, zero deaths. All right, and you had very low symptoms from people. That is a safe and infectious vaccine. Now, we all know that the efficacy levels are nothing is 100%. So we expect some things to happen as far as the safety and the side effects and the risk reward. The safety and side effects show that these are normal symptoms that you get when you get the vaccine, just like if you got any second-generation, first-generation vaccines. They're the same thing that people have always complained about. But this is a step that the CDC took to enhance safety protocol. They created an app, right? They created a reporting system. So people, they could do day-to-day check-ins on people to allow them to report their symptoms. After reporting your symptoms, right, depending on the degree, they would say you need to call your doctor, and then they would give the CDC would give you a follow-up call within 24 hours if there were severe issues. Now, that data was used and collected. This went all the way across the United States. For everyone who has all 180 million people that are fully vaccinated now, or I'll forget the specific number, but everyone had an opportunity to download the app and go through that. I still get text messages to this day that just slow down because I'm further removed from my vaccination date, but that is how data is collected. So now, the other study that I wanted to bring up was naturally infected people, right? We saw to the tune of over worldwide of over 4.5 million people or more and still counting have died from this. Now, what slowed those deaths was, you know, social distancing, masking, shutdowns all over the place and things of that nature. So more people weren't forced to be weren't working in the environment to where they could be infected, and then you still had these masks going around. So those things, you know, help washing the hands, sanitizer everywhere, people, you know, only shopping for essential things and then going home. So once the mask was removed, you had the potential of reinfection. So now you have people who caught COVID earlier on being reinfected. In the Kentucky study showed that people who did not get the vaccine, their chances of being reinfected doubled. So now what does that mean? There's new symptoms with the Delta variant. The Delta variant provides additional symptoms outside of the other symptoms that we know about, like gangrene, blood clots, gastrointestinal issues. And then you have the other symptoms, COVID toes, fingers, heart, lungs, liver, kidney. And then you have brain fog, loss of taste and smell. You have all of these components from a natural infection, which bogs to be more dangerous. Now, yes, a lot of people are asymptomatic, so they have low symptoms. But these asymptomatic people who don't show any symptoms or signs or just, the normal cough, colds, flu-like symptoms for a few days and go through the regimen of that, these people don't know if they are experiencing lung issues. We've seen an uptick in double lung transplants from natural infection. So now we know the risk-reward benefits because we have people going to have surgery, but we also have an uptick in deaths in unvaccinated. 99.99% of the deaths from January up until now are in the unvaccinated crowd. Hospitalizations, 98% of the hospitalizations, unvaccinated people. So the risk-reward data is present based on what we see and what we've gathered since January. This is known information. So to close.
Well, absolutely. Again, I knew you would have it. That's why I went to you. I want to go to Jack now. Jack popped up on one of my videos that I shared. Again, I try to give people, just try to give them science information in a layman way as best I can. And Jack, let's speak specifically to this Delta variant, because you were given the numbers in a sense that happened with, I think, somewhere in Pennsylvania, if you will, Jack, and breaking down your conclusion after what the results of it. Because again, you know, if I didn't talk to you, I wouldn't have known this, and I don't think the average person goes this deep. But if I recall, Jack, you were saying that you felt like the vaccines were working based on how you researched Pennsylvania at the time. So if you will, break down that information specifically to this Delta variant, as Sean highlighted the other issues that come with it versus the Alpha variant that was most prominent at the time of the rollout.
Well, let me touch on three things real fast. Number one, it's not just mild vaccine injury that happens. My wife got myocarditis after her second Moderna shot. My wife's a doctor. She's a doctor, but she's in extraordinary condition. And she has proven factual myocarditis from Moderna. It happens. It's happened with more frequency. And it will happen with more frequency. So they're not without risk. Risk-reward, yeah, you're right about that. But they do have risk. So to paint a rosy picture without risk is a fallacy. Number two, we've shifted into the whole CDC agenda and the whole NIH agenda. I mean, we apparently have selective amnesia, the whole country, because what they originally said was X amount of efficacy against contracting the virus. That was the original sell. That was the original pitch. 90% chance you won't catch it, 67% chance you won't catch it. And now that they realize that that's wrong, they've shifted their premise to we'll prevent severe cases, we'll prevent hospitalization. But originally, they didn't say that. To try to sell it was X amount of prevention against possibly catching it. So they've changed their entire dance card, and nobody's really called them out on that. But, you know, that's definitely reality.
Yeah, well, I'm not big enough. I called them out. I'm just not big enough yet, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, as far as variants, you know, where did the Delta variant come from? How did it come from? Where's the Lambda variant coming from? So forth. You know, they're really probably doing recombination inside immunosuppressed people who catch it. Because the virus, the interesting thing about this virus is most viruses are very sloppy in terms of copying. So they can copy themselves, but they kind of screw up, right? So when they copy themselves, that's where the real diminishing of the virus comes from that we've spoken about earlier, you've spoken about earlier, is the copy mechanism is not accurate. So as it copies, it dilutes. But coronaviruses, all of them, are really unique in all the RNA viruses because they have proofreading capabilities. So they can replicate perfectly. And this is a big genome, right? It's like 30,000 bases long. So you can make a lot of mistakes in genome, but it doesn't. So when it replicates perfectly. So, you know, the first studies, the mutation rate's 10 times lower than it would be without this proofreader. So there's a good thing that this thing can edit and copy perfectly, or we'd have 1,000 more variants than we do. My personal belief, after 2 years of intensive study, with, again, I'll reference the the most brilliant people on the face of the planet with massive PhDs. I think that SARS-CoV-2 is a LAV. And what that means is a live attenuated vaccine. And that everybody's looking to come up with a pan-coronavirus vaccine, especially Fauci. Because you have to remember,
if you will, Jack, I am asking, I was asking an entirely different question because I didn't want to revisit that part, if you don't mind, brother. And so
this is where I'm getting to.
Okay,
where
I'm
getting
to
is, if this is an LAV, these variants are a natural return to infectivity of its original form. So the variants aren't moving forward. The variants are moving backwards. Now, there's a good possibility.
And let me understand the term backwards. Backwards is backwards meaning, because I don't understand right quick. Backwards meaning
if SARS-CoV-2 is an LAV, a live attenuated vaccine, if that's what it is, it's going to de-attenuate. And as it de-attenuates, it's going to go backwards to its original form. As it goes backwards, it will create variants going backwards. That's where the new mutations are coming from. If that's the case...
That makes sense.
Right? If that's the case, whether it's Delta, Lambda, you know, regardless of what it is, it's just a return to natural form. That's what's happening
there.
Okay,
I respect that.
If that's the case.
That hypothesis, that makes sense. So I'm with the Delta, in a sense, having these other additional issues like Deshaun that laid out, if I recall, you felt like the studies were pretty good of what happened in Pennsylvania. I think it's Pennsylvania. I think that was the town it was in.
What has to happen is we have to complete the vaccination process. I think we need to get at least 90% of the country vaccinated, because if we don't, then what's going to happen is there's going to be selection pressure, and it's going to create escape variants. So in simple, simple terms, we have to kill the king, and we have to finish the job. Now that we started, this can't be a half-witted vaccination process. You can't have 50% of the people or 60% of the people. You can't, because if that happens, then the vaccine's going to create undue pressure unnaturally and create an escape variant. If it creates an escape variant...
No, that makes sense. I'm actually up against the break, brother. I got to do my last break, and then we'll come back and finish these thoughts. I want to go to Brother Unk in reference to how he feels the current vaccine is kind of going up against the Delta and Lambdas, because the way I understand it as a layman, we got some decent protection against Delta, but Lambda that may come, that looks like it, you know, some cases have gotten to the States, is mostly in Central America from what I understand. But if it were to come here and become the dominant one, the vaccine are not as, from what I understand, the current vaccines are not as effective. At least that's what I think the early studies are showing. But I'll get y'all response coming out of this break.
Hey, where did you get that hat and T-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know with me, because I look like money, smell like money, talk like money.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good, it should be elite. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
If you have a product or service you want to get out to the smartest audience in all of radio, please contact me directly via my phone number, 404-604-9477, or find us on social media or on IG at Mental_Dialogue and DM me, or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. If you are an individual and want to keep Intelligent Radio on the air, please go to mentaldialogue.com and become a supporter or a member. We actually have a caller that wants to get in. Area code 240, last 3590. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Good day, Montoya. This is Troy, Troy Moten out of Prince George's County, Maryland. I was just quite disturbed at the information that I believe your guest Sean stated a few minutes ago about the Massachusetts reports that no one died who was fully vaccinated. That's untrue. They talk about over 10,000 fully vaccinated people have caught COVID, so they call those breakthrough infections. And over 100 of them have died, and many of them were, and that's from the Massachusetts Department of Health. And many of them are have serious conditions and are hospitalized for serious conditions. Also, there's reports of over 169 deaths in Illinois, and then once again, many, many seriously hospitalized people, the fully vaccinated population. So, and this is all over the country. It's just that a lot of this, you know, information is censored through mainstream media because, you know, they are corporate-owned and they have their pharmaceutical influence. And if you don't understand corruption, you won't understand the censorship, the high levels of censorship and manipulation of data and reporting and government reporting. So it's very important that we have the accurate information and not believing, you know, mainstream media and reporting lies and repeating mad information. And then if you look at the, there's reported vaccine adverse event reporting system, then you see reports of 12,000 deaths and 5,000 heart attacks and many other Bell's palsy miscarriages, heart attacks, and a whole bunch of other adverse effects. And that, and
can you open up my Unc's mic?
Only captures 1% of less than 1% of the adverse effects. So that stuff is also reported. So there's thousands of doctors and scientists that are challenging the vaccines, are calling it not safe. Some are calling it not safe. Some calling it not effective. Some say not necessary. And then there's, you know, all three. And the fact that those doctors are often silent,
cool,
and their websites are being, you know, taken down. And
Sean, don't
and
do that on the show, bro.
They're not being given proper platforms. You have to go, you know, into the, you know, there being silence on Facebook, Twitter, of course, mainstream news, and it's just really disgusting. Science cannot flourish when alternative viewpoints are being silenced and censored, and of course, our government is very, very corrupt. So the CDC has been caught in so many lies, and the NIH, and like,
yeah,
the
let
one
me
just say,
brother, look, another caller as well. So I wanted to say thank you for your 3 cents. One question I had, if you could just briefly, because I got one other caller and we got to get out of here, is the numbers that you have, are we, you know, because, again, I know you, Troy, thank you for calling in. So even with the numbers that you're having, does it change the percentages in a major way? And what I mean is, I think Sean may have mentioned that 99% are unvaccinated. And so if the numbers that you're seeing are reported, would it change the number to 50% or 40%? Or is it that the vaccinated people who are obviously having the breakthrough cases, does it change it to 3% or 5%? I don't know if you've made that comparison, but that's just a quick question I have. And if you haven't made the comparison, then I respect it. But I'm just asking, does it move the needle a lot or a little in your opinion?
Yeah, it certainly moves the needle a lot. In fact, Israel And a lot of their reporting, they talk about 80% of their adult population has got the Pfizer vaccine. That's pretty much the only vaccine they're using. 60% of hospitalized are of the vaccinated population. So we don't know.
Okay, so
that
99%
is pure
garbage. Makes sense.
That number is pure
garbage. Now that makes sense. Let me get. I got to go to another caller, brother. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Area code 314, last 3953. I'm going to give you 1 minute to get a comment out.
Montoya,
I think you got the show in the background.
I agree with the last caller. This incident, this pandemic we have, is highly unusual the way it's being presented to the public. And, of course, when that happens, it brings up the susceptibility. You got rewards given, money given, scholarships, and you got people being censored, sources being censored. Me, myself, I'm not taking the vaccination for a simple reason. All through my decades of living, I have never took a vaccination except for one back when I was a child for chicken pox. So it's just too much. And finally, the politics. So you can understand why come there's such a heated discussion. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts, Brother Pianchi. All right, Brother Unc, if you will, King, definitely wanted to, you know, maybe a quick response to those callers. But the other thing was you only got a few minutes. The Delta and Lambda variants, from what I understand, the current vaccines are pretty strong against the Delta. Uh-huh. What are we seeing against the Lambda variants? And we only got a few minutes on the show, so please give people that information.
Well, so I'm not even going to address the callers. I'm going to say one thing. That the average age of the people that died in Massachusetts, right, had underlying conditions. The average age was 66 years old. So if you leave that factor out, right, then you misconstrue the whole study. Another point, in the history of evolution, I've never heard of evolution having a particular direction, going back to the source. That's not evolution. That's just saying anything. I've never heard that.
Okay.
All the evolutionary textbooks, I own hundreds of them. There is no direction to evolution. So a virus can't go back to the source. That's like saying humans
Let me ask this real quick. Real quick question. I'll let you finish. Quick question. So the way I understood it was if the hypothesis is that this was manipulated, that might be why you see it going in one direction, because I understand what you're saying, that evolution on its own doesn't have a direction. I think the hypothesis that we're hearing from Jack is that if this has been manipulated, this might be one of the results. So I don't know if he's necessarily saying that's what it is. He's just saying if you keep watching it and if it does that might be due to their hypothesis that manipulation may happen. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's how I understood that perspective of why he was saying it. Go ahead, Brother Unc.
So let me clean that up. So all of us have canines in our home. And all living canines trace their origin back to the gray wolf. At no point will your canine in your house, right, go back to being the gray wolf. Remember, you got natural selection, which occurs in nature, and artificial selection, where human beings actually manipulate, like domestication, breeding, right? So human beings can actually curve evolution by using what? Artificial selection. Selecting the breed to look this way. Mix this breed with that breed. That, and so in nature, that doesn't happen. Even if you thought you couldn't take your canine and breed it back to be a great wolf. That has never happened in the history of evolution nor biology. So I just want to make
a lot of sense.
Shout out.
I respect that. This is what I'm going to do. Let me do it. I've got a minute and a half, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to do an extended 10 minutes if y'all have time. And people that listen to the actual after show, they'll be able to catch this 10 minutes. But I do want to make sure that if y'all want to get out any public information, y'all do it at this time. You got 30 seconds if you just want to let people know how they can follow Pseudo Killers. And I'm going to go back to Jack to see if he wants to let people know how they can get access to his research as well. And then find out if he has 10 minutes to, you know, stay on for the after hours, if you will. So get it out real quick. How do they get in contact with the Pseudo Killers? And I want to turn over to Jack as well as our special guest.
First of all, go to the Mossy Clan and the science with Sean. So that's the Science with Sean on YouTube, Mossy Clan Warriors, right? Type it in, Mossy Clan Warriors. Then type in Pseudo Killers, okay? We dedicate ourselves to scientific literacy and the study of West Africa,
and just black history in general, you know. So we can even the Sean, go ahead.
No, I love it. All right, if you will, Jack, do you want to get out any information on how people can follow your research as well? And I don't know, do you have an extra 10 minutes just to have, you know, straight-up dialogue between everybody for the after show, if you will?
Yeah, sure. But we're actually a closed group, and the public's
okay, gotcha.
Have availability to it.
Okay, gotcha. No, I respect that. Sean, I've got 10 seconds. Did we get out everything you needed to get out publicly? Because the last 10 seconds are going to be off air. All right, we've gone off air, so I just wanted to kind of, you know, now y'all can say whatever y'all want, but see, people still, you know, people on the phone lines, they can still hear you, and then people that hear the after show will hear this part. So I know I was trying to move the show along, so a lot of conversations got cut off, so thank y'all for bearing with me in trying to move through the show and get the different information. Jack, one thing I had for you was, in a sense, because, again, this didn't really come out on the show, which I was trying to go here, was I know when I was talking about the Delta variant, I didn't even know about the Lambda variant until you kind of shared it with me on my video. But at the time, you were pretty confident about how the virus, I mean, how the vaccine worked against the Delta variant. I don't know if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, it's
like,
you know, listen,
you didn't want to say that on the show unless I missed something.
No, I think that we're starting to see in the past couple weeks big changes in the effectiveness of where the vaccine was a couple weeks ago. You know, it's a big, and one thing I want to clear up with these two gentlemen, because they're really not understanding what I'm saying. Our hypothesis is, or we're leaning towards, SARS-CoV-2 is an LAV, which means it itself is a live attenuated virus. If it is a live attenuated vaccine, not a virus vaccine, if it is a vaccine, it's going to deattenuate to its original state. So it's not a virus that's going backwards. It's a vaccine that will deattenuate, just look up deattenuation of vaccines, to its original form. And that's what it looks like from a biological and genomic standpoint. I can give you hundreds of papers and research that shows that's what this looks like, what this is. Is it? Maybe.
Can I ask a quick question? And I definitely want to let them respond freely. This is just, these questions are from my understanding, y'all. I'm not trying to cut y'all off. So what I think I understand is you were talking about this one part where it whatever, the FCS, or maybe I'm saying it wrong,
mm-hmm.
where maybe, you know, like the Dr. Morgan in North Carolina, I might say his name wrong as well, but that doctor has come up with a way where they can kind of splice it and it not be noticed by people or whatever.
Absolutely.
So are
just
you
look
saying
up Ralph Barrett.
That this splice, right, but yeah, okay, but are you suggesting that whatever may have been done, since that's your hypothesis, or you're saying that's what may have turned this into the LAV that I'm hearing? I'm just trying to make sure I'm following
that. Let me finish really easy, because it's something that everybody should spend some time looking into. A multitude of programs. And just so you know, I think we're close, because the group is under attack from the CCP, from the Chinese Communist Party. They actually put out a video going crazy on us. Everybody, whether it's the United States, China, I mean, you got to understand, China and the United States have been cooperating in research for years. And most of it's very good research. It's not bad research. Australia, so forth and so on. We believe that they were working on, and you can find the proof of this. Again, research Dr. Ralph Barrick. We've been trying to work on a pan-coronavirus vaccine. In other words, a vaccine that will treat every coronavirus, MERS, SARS, so forth and so on. During the process of that, we believe that the vaccine, not completed, accidentally escaped. Very simple lab accident. Lab accidents happen all day long. Most of them don't cause any problem, but these do. And that's what we believe this is. It's a live attenuated vaccine. So it's not actually a virus. It's a vaccine against a virus, which has caused a virus because it wasn't completely attenuated. We believe the backbone for that virus was found in a cave in actually a mine shaft in Yunnan in 2013. And we can give you tons of scientific knowledge around that. There's a central mechanism that controls immune responses mediated by the interferons. This has that. It has signatures in the genome which indicate protection strategy. It has that. It has viral proteins in the IFN signals that shows that. It shows a kidney cell line, RAK4324, which shows that. So all the things in through genomic study, scientific study, is showing all these things inside here. If you want to read a paper which talks about a TRS transcription leader by Ralph Barrick, it was done in 2018. He invented these processes. So this is not some nefarious bioweapon. They were trying to create a vaccine. There was a lab accident, and I don't think a lab accident happened at WIV either. I think it happened at the Chinese CDC, which is actually closer to the wet market than the WIV is. There's all these strange insertions in the genome, which look like basically they're trying to create a vaccine. That's what it looks like. Now, China's not going to admit that because China's number one purpose in life is to save face. That's all they care about. There's also a Chinese concept there called Mandate of Heaven, which we don't think about because we're Western guys. But they believe, you know, natural disasters and things like this, you know, signify the gods telling them that the emperor or the ruler is wrong and should be replaced. There's all these extraneous things going on. So if this was a vaccine in progress, then it will revert and go backwards to a deattenuated state. That's a normal process to happen. What's going to happen? Don't know. If Lambda comes here, I mean, we're not going to shut the borders. You know, the borders are at the highest level of, I think it's 1 million people in the past 6 months. It's in Central America. It's in California. I think another state, there's Lambda. We don't know how that's going
to
react.
I'm curious as to what, I don't know if they stayed on the line because I'm on my board, but I'm curious to hear what Unc or Sean may have to say about what you've said. You know, I know you're trying to provide some clarity, so I'm curious to what they may be thinking or if they have any questions. I don't know. Y'all still on the line, brother, or did y'all get off?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Before he goes into the Lambda, I wanted to hear what y'all had to, what's your thoughts? I'm curious to hear what y'all are hearing.
I think what I'm hearing is personal opinion, and I want to keep it proper as possible, but I'm trying to figure out, like, where is this coming from? Like, that backbone that he talked about, we talked about that. They haven't found that nowhere in that particular lab. Munam wasn't even working on that. So we don't we find that backbone in nature, but we don't find that or them remotely working close to anything like that in the lab. And I think that's the point I wanted to bring up on the live show, that for that to even escape out the lab, they would have had to have been at least working with something close to that. They don't even have that. No evidence of that. Like, they publish papers, right? We're corresponding back and forth with the scientists. They don't have that in there.
Do you really believe China is going to upload?
Jack, I never cut you off. Jack, please not cut me off, bro. I let you talk. Let me finish my point out. I'm saying is I'm not working off belief, Jack. I'm working off the fact that scientists have relationships with each other. Even when governments break down, scientists have relationships. They don't want to be in the politics of it. They're torn apart. As a matter of fact, if Trump would have had some sense and work with the scientific community in China, they would have given us all the information we needed to figure it out. But based off of the sticking out the chest and talk crazy, it is broken down talk with government, and the scientific community, they still talking, though, Jack. So it's not based off what I believe. You know and I know, right, based off the people you claim you work with, they should have contacts with scientists in China. So I'm not working off belief. I'm simply saying we only know what we know. And right now we know that that backbone that you talked about, the DNA sequences that would allow them to even tinker with that particular virus to allow it to escape, they don't even work. They wasn't even working with them in the lab. But go ahead, Sean.
Well, Sean's not there. Do you really believe that China uploaded every sequence they have into GenBank?
I don't know, Jack.
Do you really believe that?
I don't know.
Of course
they
did.
I don't know. Do you know?
Do you also know that they took their data bank offline in January of last year?
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Again, I respect the hell out of the fact that you're looking. I respect the hell out of the fact of your intelligence. You got to go way deeper to start to put some of these lines together. You're not wrong. I'm not saying you're not wrong. But if I'm not holding to the fact that I'm 100% right, and I'm not holding to that point, you can't be either.
Hold on 1 second, Jack. You got to unmute Sean.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Another thing we were saying before we had a break, are you familiar with the entire situation that occurred with the miners in 2013?
The miners because that got sick, you're talking about?
Yeah, we are the ones who found the Chinese thesis.
Do not entertain it.
We're the ones who found it. One of my guys, Seeker, actually found the thesis. And it was the thesis that really changed the whole complexion here because we have their medical records, we have their CAT scans, we have their x-rays, we have everything. Something happened there. And that was a zoonotic event. So the question, and if you go there and you look since then, you're talking 40,000 samples in one region. Why? Because they found something there. And it's a natural, and I mean, to assume or to believe that China is on the up and up with anybody, I mean, it's just absurd. It's not even a possibility. You know, something like that becomes a state secret. When you think of the possibility, if this was zoonotic, right, there's a lot of things that are going to have to be proven for it to be zoonotic. And a lab leak doesn't even necessarily mean manipulation. But you're not, you know, you're refusing to hear that. They could have found a sample.
I understood that.
They could have found a sample in the wild. And by the way, December 2nd of 18, or not 18, they actually had moved the CDC, the Chinese CDC, to a new building. All it's going to take is a thawed-out sample that could have been H2H already to start this whole thing rolling. You know, I mean, it's just, there's so much going on here, so much in-depth insanity going on here. First thing you can't believe is any government, whether it's the U.S., especially not China, or anybody else. And, you know, going back to, you know, Dr. Gary, what I want you to do after we hang up, right, is I want you to Google search Dr. Gary and grants and look at how many millions and millions and millions of dollars he's pulled in from the NIH. So if the NIH's situation is going to be zoonotic, he's going to say, zoonotic, so would you, so would I. If the NIH says lab leak, he's going to say a lab leak because you don't bite the hand that feeds, right? You don't walk up to your boss and say, fuck you. So all these guys are just dirtbags, all of them.
So Jack, one question, Jack. Why would you actually interject that? When you interject that and you're actually interjecting doubt, and we're talking science. We're not worrying about the political climate. We're not worried about...
You have to worry about that because you're thinking science is purely based upon a paper someone wrote. These papers are influenced by money and politics.
All of them.
Hold on, Jack. Hey, Montoya, you leading them out again.
No, I'm going to let him back in. He was just busy in the background talking, so Sean, if you can hear me now, I'm about to let you back. I'm about to let you back in. Yeah, I'm about to let you back in, brother. So, Sean, I'm about to let you back in. You were just talking, so I put you back on mute. Sorry about that. All right. Go ahead, Sean.
Jack, if that's the case,
What I want to say real quick, okay, is first, the Massachusetts study proved the vaccines work. The brother has said what he said on
I understand, but he said I lied.
So that was that. I want to make sure that that's clear that there was zero death. Okay. That's evidence.
It's not on the show, bro. So I just want you to get and on the conversation.
I know. And VAERS reporting. And VAERS reporting is not 12,000. It's 6,000. Okay. So we want to make sure that when we're dealing with stuff that we're keeping it honest. And I don't think the public knows that. So in the conversation that we're having right now, we're going too far down a rabbit hole regarding this whole concept of a lab leak. If you have the evidence, it has not been presented, and it's 2 years. The further away that we get from 2019, November, late November 2019, we're losing ground. So we have to be honest in that assertion. This whole conversation is about data. It's not about personal feelings. It's not about beliefs. It's about data, what we can show, what we can demonstrate, which allows us to prove. We don't have it. We have to be honest in the assessment and say what we have and what we don't have.
So what I just – yeah, here it is. Here it is. What you just said is fair. Just keep in mind, I wasn't doing – you know, just throwing this out. I wasn't doing a scientific-only conversation on the show from this standpoint because – to a sense, we still have to be able to take our data and bring it to real world. So here's – because these are just questions I would have from this standpoint. Like, yeah, if you were just saying, do you have the information to prove, or like even what y'all are saying to Jack right now, which is cool. Like, I don't think he's saying I have the scientific data at this point, but some of these questions is how a lot of times conspiracies in the past have been – uncover is because scientists do keep pushing the envelope on does this make sense. So when you ask him why would he interject it, here's my opinion, and Jack can speak for himself, but I'm just telling you how I'm reading it, is it's from the perspective of what does it mean for us in the real world and you're still waiting for – now, the thing I understood, tell me this is –
it doesn't mean anything in the real world, though, Montoya.
Oh, go ahead.
Because
the virus is here.
The virus is here. It has no – now, the real-world effect is that we're in the middle of a pandemic. The virus is here. The whole notion of trying to prove a lab leak is irrelevant because it's here. People have died. People are getting sick. People are getting infected, reinfected,
and otherwise. But did you hear him say we're trying to have a conversation? That's what we're missing.
No. I'm not dismissing that.
It's not a conversation, not trying to be scientific to that degree.
I understand. What I'm saying from a real world perspective, it has no credence to a layperson. Because we're trying to figure out how to still go to work.
No, I get it, but right now it's just us, dog. Like, let's have a conversation.
Yeah, but listen. You're saying you want to have a conversation about science. I'll be glad to have that conversation with you purely on science. You know, and it's like,
I'm from my regular show, bro. So let me throw
my thing. I can say the racist government that enslaved black people is definitely trying to kill us. I can throw my opinion in there. But that don't mean a hill of beans because that does not have to apply to
no,
black
I'm not
men.
Disagreeing. I'm saying is for this,
right,
this after hours.
I did all that, though, Montoya.
Yeah, I know, right? And, Just hear me out one second. For this after hour part, You say I got this information, and Dad says I got this information. Now we're just saying, hey, do you trust the Chinese government? So we're just having a conversation after hours. I'm saying get out of what we're in the after hours. We're just the four of us just having a conversation. So he's not presenting. Do you trust the Chinese government as some type of scientific thing? He's just asking you, based, you know,
I
and
know,
he's saying. here's why my group is still researching this. It's not a, and he said, I'm not trying to say I'm 100% right. He's just having a, at this point, it's just a discussion between us.
No, I mean, you're saying that you're not presenting scientific evidence. You know, let's say this is an LAV, all right? Let's say this is. First of all, there's circuit breakers inside LAVs. Which is really interesting here, and that makes no sense, is this genome has an IFN hypersensitivity, which the first SARS didn't. When the first SARS, you know, still, they want to say pangolins, whatever. And there's viral proteins in the IFN that would be affected by attenuation, like the NSP3. Right, so why is that in there? There's truncation changes in the ORF6. That doesn't make any sense. There's bat immortalized kidney cell line expressing HAC. That doesn't make any sense. The QTQTN is a mode of proximal to the FCS. That doesn't make any sense. So there's purely scientific genomic things inside this genome that doesn't make any sense unless you're creating a vaccine. That's the interesting thing. You know, even the CPG, I think, yeah, the CPG, is different than SARS or MERS, which looks like it's trying to be attenuated. So everything inside this genome, scientifically, right, scientifically, looks like it's trying to create a vaccine. And
but, Jack, hold on, Jack. Hold on for a minute, Jack. Let me make this point here. You are insinuating a whole lot.
No, I'm not. I'm reading blast. Let me finish.
I can read a blast like you can read a blast, but neither one of us can. Yeah, yes, I can. No more than you can.
Bring up blast right now.
We'll blast it right now.
We'll both blast it at the same time.
Let me finish my point, though, Jack. The point I want to make, and I'm serious with this point right here, right? Where in the conversation, I'm thinking you already know that I'm not going to interject what I feel. Okay? We can, you, science only knows what it knows, and we rely on the experts. So for my conversation, it might not be for yours, when you make the statement that you're making, we should be allowed to read the data that you're claiming you're privy to. Let's push this particular envelope. You set out your mouth that it's your group of scientists that is actually pushing the envelope. I looked at one of the scientists, one of the guys. As a matter of fact, his name was, I'll give you his name, for the conversation. I actually looked at it, right? My little research, right? I looked at it. And hold on, I want to get his name correct here, right? And I think the conversation, we probably should have just did a whole day. What they would say, what, apart you, Charles Rexy? Am I saying that right?
He's not a scientist.
Right, he's not a scientist. So then,
he's just a data guy.
So okay, so you respect his opinion?
No, I don't. He just collects information.
I'm trying to ask some clarity. So this is what I'm hearing, and y'all tell me if y'all not hearing this. And this is me just listening. I'm just trying to listen. But I think I heard Jack say was, here's why our group is curious. That's just being shared with you, not making a point. So I think y'all are hearing him say, here's why we're curious, because these things don't make sense. I think y'all are hearing him make a point that disagrees with you. I think he's just pointing out why the group is going down this path. Am I understanding you, Jack? A lot of one and one
doesn't come up to two. And as long as one and one don't come up to two, listen, the easiest thing in the world, the best thing in the world, I mean, you got another problem here that we didn't even touch on. If this thing builds an animal reservoir, which it's starting to build, and if that reservoir can kick back to human, we've got an even bigger problem. And 40% of the deer in the United States are currently infected. So it's building an animal reservoir. We've got all kinds of problems going on.
We've done such massive, massive, massive research, not just going through Google or the Internet. I mean, these are scientists using BLAST. These are scientists using all their expertise that they've had for millions of years. And some of them leave me in the dust on a day-to-day basis because they're so far advanced. One of these guys, Deyu, the kind of things that he can come up with, he's like the Rain Man of fucking genomics. He's unbelievable. None of the answers are coming up correctly. They're not coming up correctly for zoonosis.
Right, and let me I want to let the brother speak as well. I want Uncle Sean to speak as well. So, but as I hear you say that, Jack, am I not hearing you just saying, hey, here's what we're seeing, here's what we're curious about, this is why we're going on this path, and I'm just sharing it with you guys. I don't think you're making a point to say that they're wrong, that these guys are wrong right now. You're
no,
saying,
they could be 1,000%
hey,
right.
This is the shit that we're curious about. And that one, so you said to me that if you find some of the things that I hear Unc and Sean saying, you will easily be like, okay, that's what it is. You're just saying why, you're just sharing with these guys why you're curious. You're not trying to make a point right now. Am I wrong?
I'm not trying to contest the position or tell them that
right,
their position is
wrong. Right, that's what I'm thinking is getting misunderstood here right
now. Their position could be 1,000% right.
It's getting misunderstood because we keep getting cut off. That's why it's really getting misunderstood.
Okay, that's part of it, but I'm just saying, I feel like,
right.
I think, but did you hear what he just said?
I don't see Jack get cut off, though. I don't see Jack get cut off in the middle of this conversation at
okay,
all.
Okay, but I'm just saying that if we're not, if he's not making a point, can we have a dialogue about, he's just saying these are the things they're curious about.
But
and I want to hear what y'all think about it.
Yes, but you and Jack are the only two people on the show, you can do a poll, that actually thinks that Jack don't really think that what he's saying is correct. Over remotely closer to the truth.
What do you mean correct? He can say it over and over. He doesn't know if it's correct. I gotta understand what you say. Why are you saying that? He's talking on the show that he's not saying it's correct.
I told you. Every person he brings out felt anti-Fauci, anti-government, and it all points to one thing, Montoya. Like, I can't keep saying that I love white people, but everything I talk about is talking about what they did, what they didn't do. At a certain point, you start saying, well, that's interesting. I can't say that I don't mind the homosexual community, but everything I say is anti-homosexual community. At a certain point, you're going to look at me like, but everything you're saying supports the idea that you're actually against the homosexual community. I don't know why you're not understanding that, Montoya.
Because I don't understand the science enough to know that. That's the honest truth.
Oh, okay.
I'm being straight
oh,
up with you right now, bro.
Right. I like that. No,
yeah, yeah. To me, it sounds like
I got
just being curious about these things that don't add up. So I'm being honest.
I got you. Yep.
That's why I'm saying to you, that's why I thought the dialogue was. I don't know that these things are anti-this because I don't understand it today.
Yeah, I hear the whole piece.
Yeah, I don't,
right?
But
all
I didn't. So that's why you got to understand where I'm coming
from. All
the
extra information, it was information put in there that had no bearing on the conversation. But it's made to look that way. I mean, I appreciate Jack, though. Jack, know what Jack understands science. Be around it. I yearn for a conversation like this on a daily basis. I ain't mad, to be honest with you. I think we got a fair shake at it. Yeah.
So are you saying that those things that he's saying don't add up or not things that
things
they should be curious about?
The things he's saying is unfounded. He don't have the data to back that up. There is no data of anything walking out of the lab. They won't produce the data. I hear the conversation, where is the data? We can produce the data on the other side that would make you lean towards that. That's the point that we're making right here. There is no data. Where's the data to show that he was even working with that particular backbone in that lab? You got to at least be 98% close before you can even start messing with the genome. So where is that data? There is no data that points towards that. There is no data for none of that. It's just good talk right now. So I'm not mad at the challenge because that's what science is. It's self-correcting. But I don't like the way it's being presented as if they got the data. Well, it looks that way. It looks that way. Okay, that's cool. But where's the data to show that it looks that way? That's all I'm saying. Maybe
I'm telling you
to
blast it and you'll see it. I'm telling you blast it and you'll see it.
So why, okay, you're going to publish that?
Blast the genome of SARS-CoV-2 and look at it. You'll see everything I'm talking about. Something doesn't look right.
That doesn't mean it's 100% correct. That doesn't mean it's 100% not. And what I also said to you, but you didn't want to hear because you're taking this personal and it's not, is something happened to the miners that was zoonotic. So the question becomes, was a sample taken from that mine shaft, stored in Wuhan, and thawed out accidentally? And is that the actual virus? If that's the case, then there is, then it's a zoonotic virus. If that's not, and the other point is, I don't believe, I don't think anybody should believe that any sequence that China has is randomly stored on GenBank. I mean, I can bring you into the whole RATG-13-4991 controversy, which is unbelievable how they had those genomes since 2013 and didn't upload them until after the pandemic, which is just remarkable. And when they uploaded RATG-13, and 13 means 2013, right, it's so altered and so bizarre-looking that it could only be a consensus sequence. So a lot of these things I'm talking about, there's tremendous proof and validation for that are scientific and the data is there. But you have to really go deep, really deep, from a scientific side. Fortunately, I have 27 people who do that because they smoke me intellectually. It's the only time in my life I've ever felt fucking ignorant. And I'm not ignorant, right? But, these guys are of an intellect and a specialty, right? It's a specialty. Because what they do is very, 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 very specific and have done it their whole life, right? Yeah. So when I look at what
Hold on, Jack. Watch this. You know what I appreciate? And I'm going to have to leave the conversation. What I appreciate is that with science, it's not even based off of who the smartest is. It's not based off of that. That's why I love science. It's based off of who can show repeatedly what they're saying. That's why I love science. So if these guys are that intelligent, then they need to publish the work and allow the rest of us to read the data. Those that are qualified in virology and immunologists, right? Publish the work. Then you'll say, well, wait a minute.
We have the first. There are published papers and peer-reviewed papers from the group. You just haven't found them. Look at Rosanna Segretto's, Dr. Segretto, Dr. Dinan. I mean, there are published papers. Dr. Mona Rahul. I mean, look at these. They exist. They're published and peer-reviewed.
I know where they're at.
If you want me to give Montoya a link, I'll give you a link.
Yeah, send it to Montoya. Yeah, do that.
But they're published and peer reviewed. But this, there's nothing I gain if this was a lab leak. There's nothing you gain if this was zoonotic. Right? The fact is, it's still a fucking disaster no matter which way you look at it, right?
The only thing that needs to happen
is if it is zoonotic, right, then we spent about $70 billion on a complete failure. Because PREDICT, NIAID, EcoHealth, all of them have been funded for fucking decades to prevent this from happening, especially PREDICT. It was their job to find potential spillovers.
You're not familiar with Peter Hotez?
Peter Daszak or Peter, which one?
Peter Hotez.
Yeah, he's
pretty thorough with it. Remember, he lost funding. So he was already working on coronaviruses. So I'm saying it's not like, it's a net like, We human beings have been in the arms race against viruses since the first day we evolved on planet Earth.
You know what it sounds to me like? And Montoya can tell you, right? He knows me pretty well. I have no political party at all.
I can't tell, though, Jack.
Because this is what you believe. You believe I'm a Republican, and you're wrong. right? You're wrong about that.
No, I don't. I don't think he's a Republican.
Well, you just said you don't believe that. If, for instance,
no, I said I don't believe that you don't have a political stance.
I don't. I voted Democrat. I voted Republican. I vote whoever I feel like at the moment that person best expresses what I want.
Yeah,
you know,
I carry your same sentiments, Jack. So I'm not a Republican. I'm not Democrat. I want you
if,
to know.
If Obama was able to have a third term, this would have never happened.
Yep,
because
Obama was financing that area.
Well, Obama was completely aware of all of the dangers of studying any of this, whether it be gain of function or whether it just be predict or things like that. And when I talk about Fauci, who I think is a fucking moron, right, he went against Obama. He completely subterfuged Obama. Obama put a moratorium on gain of function. Fauci said, fuck that, and channeled it through EcoHealth. Obama saw exactly what was going on. And I wish we had a third term with Obama. So, you know, we've got big problems here.
And I hate and didn't support, didn't do game of function. That wasn't considered game of function. You supposed to know that, Jack. That wasn't game of function. He just said it a million times.
Yes,
not
it was
game
of function. Yes, it was game of function. Stop reading just the internet. Go deeper.
Not, though, right? No, I'm just saying, so for Ralph, he actually said it wasn't game of function. I just want to make sure that he said that. He said that, am I correct? When he argued with the
Fauci,
Senate,
yeah, but listen, Fauci's full of shit about everything. When Fauci came out and screamed remdesivir was a game changer, which it's not, if you remember him saying that, and you could go find that on YouTube, found out, you know, Fauci screaming remdesivir is a game changer. It did nothing. It's not used. And if you want to figure out why he said it was a game changer, it's because the NIH and Barrick co-owned the patent on it. Go do research on that. Remdesivir is garbage. And Fauci screamed that it was a game changer.
So can I make this point, though? And I'm gonna end with this point. It's called
I'm going to close it out as well.
SARS.
I don't know, Sean, if you're still there.
No, he got mad and left. It's called the SARS. It's called the novel SARS coronavirus 2, right? Based off of that word, novel, meaning for the first time in the history of humanity that this particular virus and pathogen has attacked humanity or has attacked the immune system. So scientists are learning on the fly. So one moment, Tarazza could say, yeah, we need the mask, and then next week he say no, right? One week is transmitted through touching items. The next week is airborne. So you know science like I do, right? They are allowed to change their mind based off of more available evidence. So the conversation is a great conversation. I appreciate it, right? Watch out for those who misconstrued the gray area. Watch out for those who misconstrued and misunderstand science and think that because one minute I say we don't need a mask, the next minute I say that all of a sudden I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. No, we're being faced with a novel disease. Appreciate you, Montoya. Appreciate you, Jack. It's a great conversation, man. I appreciate the level of wisdom.
Have a good weekend, man.
Appreciate
have
you, Montoya,
weekend,
for having
safe.
Me here, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
Hey,
Montoya,
thank y'all for being willing to dialogue
brother.
And do this. Thank y'all for being willing
yeah,
to dialogue.
Yeah, appreciate that, Montoya.
Appreciate y'all. No, I appreciate y'all.
I like
all
the way you did that, Montoya. Thanks. All right, man. Peace.
No, thanks a lot. Thanks a
Be
lot,
good.
Jack. Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, no doubt.